Please be seated. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father that we just heard about. He said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit and receive power to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And boy, did they get it. This coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is considered the birthday of the church. And it was quite a birthday. A mighty wind swept through the room. They began speaking in languages they didn't understand all at the same time. Their hair seemed to catch on fire, and they appeared to onlookers as if they were drunk. It's so very un-Episcopalian of God. And I really don't understand how this is how God poured out the Holy Spirit on the church, on the world. I really don't. It's one of the wackiest, craziest stories in the New Testament and perhaps in the Bible. And like all questions about God that I don't understand, I turn to David and ask him to explain it to me. So David, would you please explain what just we read about? Sometime you've got between now and Advent, the whole season of Pentecost. Who is this Holy Spirit? How are we to think about him or her? Or, I shudder to say this, it. I don't know. I've been asking this question for a long time. I still feel like I've just begun to scratch the surface. And I have a few thoughts that I would like to share with you. But most of all, instead of listening to me, I would encourage you to ask to know the Holy Spirit yourself directly. I think that is something God deeply, deeply wants us to know, to have an encounter with this Holy Spirit that is his gift to his people. In my sort of quest to understand who the Holy Spirit is, the book, there's not much that's been written that I find really good, but the one that I love the most is a book that you've heard me mention, The Go-Between God, by Bishop John Taylor, an Anglican bishop. And the title refers to God, the Holy Spirit, as God that occupies the space between, that makes connections. The Spirit is what connects us. It connects particle to particle to form the beautiful creation that we see outside today. And it is what connects us to each other and what connects us ultimately to God. And I found it just this beautiful picture of who the Holy Spirit is. I recommend the book to you if you are interested in pursuing it. This thought was echoed in a wonderful book by Barbara Brown Taylor that was recently given to me called The Luminous Web. And it's about science and faith, an issue that really deeply interests me. And I'd like to read a brief passage. Referring to the Big Bang, the origin of the universe, and sort of the what exploded using the metaphor of an egg, she writes, "Back before the explosion triggered the expansion of time and space, there was an egg of the universe in which all places were one place and all things were one thing. The beauty of this earlier reality was its unity, its total coherence. Mind, matter, time were not yet different. They were all floating in the same yoke. Then the universe was born and the one became many. Quantum particles became planets and galaxies and clusters and superclusters. Atoms became algae and toads and palm trees and swans and church buildings and human beings like you and me. Space became here or there, and time became then or now. But what if deep down in the being of these many things remains the memory of there being one thing, which makes them behave in ways that torture scientists? Space and time are not separable. Light is both particle and wave. A particle way over there responds instantly to a particle way over here, as if the two were not two but one. What if our mental torture only comes about because we insist on conceiving reality as many, when it is truly and deeply one? Again, this idea that seems to recur, not just in our theology, but in our science. Last week's gospel reading contained my favorite verse in all of Scripture. It's the high water mark for me personally of the whole of God's revelation to us. It's Jesus' prayer that he prayed during the Last Supper for his disciples, both the current ones and those that would follow, including you and me. And the prayer, the phrase is simply this: that they all may be one, Father, as your Father are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us. I want to repeat that, and I'd like you just to let these words take hold of your thought and sink in. I really can't fathom anything higher or more wonderful or more, I don't know, I'm out of words. Jesus prayed that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us. I can't think of anything better. I believe the gift of the Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost, that is given over and over again throughout church history and in each one of our lives, is God's answer to this prayer. God answered this prayer by giving us the Holy Spirit. I don't know how else to say it. It's the most stunning thing I can think of. My take on the Trinity is very simple. I believe God is an I am sentence. I am love. I am truth. I am the way. I am the life. The I in the sentence is the Father. The end of the sentence, the love, the truth, the way, is Christ. In between is the verb am, to be, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is simply God's being. And God has given his being to us. I don't need to tell you how much the world needs to experience this being, this oneness that comes as a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is our mission. It's our work. And it's the work that God has given us the ability to do through his Spirit. So would you join me in a prayer? You don't have to kneel. We need you, Lord. We, humanity, needs you. Send your Spirit afresh upon your people and give us power to be your witnesses to this fractured and fracturing world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.